This Shastra, Sri Aurobindo says, is present in every one of us. If you really have a great aspiration to know it, you can know by yourself. You don't need anybody. By internal processes of observation, experimentation, you can discover it. And therefore, many people who are really powerful, they don't need the help. They discover by themselves. Or one word is enough. It's a story of Kabir. You have heard the name of Kabir? No. You must read out some poems of Kabir to them. He was a great poet and a great yogi. He lived in Banaras. It is said that he, as a young boy, he had no house, so he used to sleep on the footsteps, on the steps of a ghat in the near the temple, near the river Ganga. One day, one yogi, in the early morning, before the sunrise, there was a pitch darkness, and he simply went down the steps of that ghat. And he unknowingly put his footstep on the body of Kabir, who was sleeping on one of the footsteps. And he simply took the name of God, that yogi. And as he uttered these words, Kabir awoke, but awoke with a new consciousness. One word was enough, name of God was enough. And he became himself a yogi. He didn't go to any teacher afterwards. In 1 second, by one word, he was awakened. The very fact that even after hundreds of years we are now remembering at this moment, and his poems are read and reread and recited by millions of people of India, shows that he attained such a tremendously high consciousness and affected the people. He brought Muslims and Hindus together in harmony. It was one of the great works he did in his life. So this yoga is already present, the Shastra is present in us. And sometimes it can be unsealed, even with one word. There are many ways by which this knowledge can come. There is a very interesting paragraph. If you open chapter number 2, page number 63, Sri Aurobindo tells us how you can enter into yoga. What are the different ways by which you can enter into yoga? You read this first paragraph. All yoga is in its nature a new birth. It's a tremendously powerful statement. All yoga is in its nature a new birth. It is a birth out of the ordinary, the mentalized material life of man, into a higher spiritual consciousness and a greater and diviner being. No yoga can be successfully undertaken and followed unless there is a strong awakening to the necessity of that larger spiritual existence. The soul that is called to this deep and vast change may arrive in different ways to the initial departure. The starting point may be from different sides it can come. You are entering into yoga with one method now. There are different people who can enter into different ways. Now Sri Aurobindo gives the different ways by which one can enter. It may come to it by its own natural development, which has been leading it unconsciously towards the awakening, by a gradual natural development. Many people don't have a sudden awakening, like Kabir had sudden awakening. It may come by a natural rhythm of long period of life, 30, 40 years one leads an ordinary life, but gradually grows, and then comes a period of awakening. It may reach it through the influence of a religion or the attraction of a philosophy. It may approach it by a slow illumination or leap to it by a sudden touch or shock. It may be pushed or led to it by the pressure of outward circumstances or by an inward necessity, by a single word that breaks the seals of the mind, as it happened to Kabir, by a single word that breaks the seals of the mind, or by long reflection, by the distant example of one who has trod the path, or by contact and daily influence. According to the nature and the circumstances, the call will come. This is how one departs into yoga, by many methods. This is by way of introducing what we were reading up till now in this first chapter. We were on page number 49. We had read on page 48, ordinarily the word from without is necessary. A word should be revealed to you by somebody. It's a noble method. Now on page 49 you read, usually the representative influence occupies a much larger place in the life of sadhaka. If the yoga is guided by a received written shastra, some word from the past, which embodies the experience of former yogins, it may be practiced either by personal effort alone or with the aid of a guru. The spiritual knowledge is then gained through meditation on the truths that are taught, and it is made living and conscious by the realization in the personal experience. Now, reading the word meditation, we had made an excursion and we were just about to understand what is meditation, then we suspended. So now let us go back to that part of this book where meditation is explained. What is meditation? page number 307. Now let us read a few lines. Meditation is a form of concentration. Concentration are of two kinds, meditation and contemplation. There are two words. There is a process called meditation and there is a process called contemplation. Some concentrations are meditative and some concentrations are contemplative. Even in ordinary life, we do meditation. Even in ordinary life, we do contemplation. But not examining the powers of meditation or of contemplation, we don't derive much result. But like psychologists, if you know what is the secret of meditation, what is the secret of contemplation, you can derive a tremendous result. Now, Sri Aurobindo analyzes what is the secret of meditation. This concentration proceeds by the idea. This is a very important word, idea. Without idea, you cannot have meditation. All meditation is ideative in character. You should have an idea. An idea using thought, form and name. Three things: thought, form and name. We ask what is in a name. But name sometimes is very important for opening the gates. As I told you last time, there is something like a magic in the process of yoga. Outwardly it looks very simple, but if you go into the depth of it, a miraculous result comes out. So thought, form and name, they are very ordinary things. We have plenty of thoughts in our mind. It's not as if we have to go far to seek it. There are many forms in us. There are many names hovering around in our consciousness. But the secret lies in catching one thought out of so many, one name, one form. That is where the scientist comes into the picture. Whatever is running about in our consciousness, you pick up one thing. Which one thing? That only the psychologist will tell you. That is, yogi will tell you. So it proceeds by the idea, using thought, form and name as keys which yields up to the concentrating mind the truth that lies concealed behind all thought, form and name. There is a discovery of the truth. We had said, yoga is a discovery of the divine being or divine love or divine will or all the three. The central knowledge is the knowledge of the divine being, the divine truth. So if you want to know the truth, then the key to the truth is in seizing upon a thought, form and name, and pierce through it, and then truth is seized. It is through the idea that the mental being rises beyond all expression to that which is expressed, to that of which the idea itself is only the instrument. It is a key by which the lock can be opened. By concentration upon the idea, this is the important point, you take an idea, by concentration upon the idea, you concentrate upon the idea, the mental existence, which at present we are, breaks open the barrier. If you just concentrate upon the idea, then the barrier between you and the truth breaks down. And arrives at a state of consciousness, the state of being, the state of power of the consciousness, conscious being, and bliss of conscious being, to which the idea corresponds, and of which it is a symbol, movement and rhythm. You select that idea out of so many ideas you may have, of which you want to know the truth.